Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 27. This is the reading of God's word. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them and saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." The ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack: sell all that you possess and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, bless us that we may have that ear to hear your word, that we may truly hear, and our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear your word, but understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week, we met two people through a parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Well, a Pharisee, he believed that he was righteous in the sight of God by his own good works. The other person, a tax collector, he acknowledged that he was a sinner who truly deserved the eternal judgment of God and humbled himself before God, just seeking the mercy of God. The true citizens of heaven are the people who are like this tax collector that we saw last week. By faith that God has given them, they confess that they are the sinners who deserve the eternal punishment of God and humbles themselves as they come to God seeking God's mercy. Today in our passage, chapter 18, verse 15 through 27, once again we meet two kinds of people. We see in chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, that's today's passage, that the citizens of the kingdom of God are like the children. And in chapter 18, verse 18 through 23, which we will see next time, we see the rich young ruler who is the opposite of the children. Like the Pharisees that we saw last week, this rich young ruler believe that by his own good works, he is righteous before God and ultimately refused to forsake the world. Well, it would be good to look at these two stories together. Because from verse 15 all the way to 27 is one unit. And it's always look at one unit, the same unit, together. But to do so means that you're going to sit there for 2 hours. And I don't think you'll be very happy, especially how hot today is because of weather here. So we're going to just look at verse 15 to the 17 today. And next time we will look at the rich young ruler. So let's begin, verse 15. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. Matthew describes the scene in more detail. Matthew chapter 19 verse 13 says, Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Well, to receive the blessings from Jesus Christ, the people brought the children to him. But as our passage says that the disciples rebuked them. And we see that the disciples are still living with the value judgment of this world. Children, at the time, just even today, is pretty much the same, but at the time, they were one of the groups that were considered insignificant and worthless. Jews had a traditional ceremony called the Bar Mitzvah. You might hear that even today. When a Jewish boy reaches his 13th birthday, he attains the age of religious duty and responsibility. But until then, the children were of no value. And to the disciples of Jesus, during this event, the children were just an annoyance. To them, for Jesus to deal with the children was simply a waste of time. When it comes to the financial benefits of this world, the children have nothing to offer. And this is how the world thinks. They will completely disregard you if you cannot benefit them or you are nobody in this world. The disciples are thinking to themselves that Jesus needs to do more important things than meeting with children. Disciples were saying to them, Don't bother Jesus. He's busy. And has no time for insignificant people like the children. And this is the world. And you don't even have to be children if you are insignificant in this world. Well, people will ignore you. So that is why when we read Mark, the same story is also you could find in Mark and Matthew. So when we read the same story in Mark, we see that Jesus is very angry at the disciples. Mark chapter 10 verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Permit the children to come to me, do not hinder them. See, there is no partiality with God. All the elect of God are His children. This is why even children among us, they're precious to us. And when somebody asks us how many members do we have, we always count them. Some churches, they only count the adults. And that's not biblical. And yet that's what they do. Luke chapter 18, verse 16. But Jesus called for them, saying, Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. See, Jesus himself called for the children. Mark chapter 10, verse 16. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Now, some biblical scholars see the principle of the infant baptism in these verses. But we do not need these verses to prove that the infant baptism is biblical. There are many other verses that we could show. And it is very helpful to see infant baptism as a sign of the covenant. And whenever we read the covenantal language of God in the Old Testament, it becomes very clear. God says always that he will make the covenant with you and your descendants. That's his language. I will make covenant with you and your children. So your children are members of God's covenant. Well, today's sermon is not about infant baptism, so we will not go into detail about it. But it is very clear from our passage that some children are the members of the kingdom of God. That's very clear. God, Jesus says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, Jesus says. And when he says it, we have a question. Is he saying that all children go to heaven? Is God saying that the children are not sinners and they are holy, so all children will go to heaven? Well, of course not. But I have to address it because many people out there, that's what they believe, that all children will go to heaven. Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible is actually very clear. There is no one righteous, not even one. Ever since Adam sinned, all are conceived in sin. Meaning all are born as the sinners as soon as they're born or even before. Bible clearly says they are sinners. Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. This is what the Bible said. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21b, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we already talked about this a little bit. Why do children die? Because they're sinners. Even when they were, before they were born, they die. Because they're sinners. No one will die if sin did not come into this world. But God said, if you sin, if you eat that fruit, you will surely die. And yes, everybody dies. From the time of their conception, all the children are the sinners who deserve the eternal judgment of hell. Now, some people will not like that because they believe that they're more just than our God. And they think that God is wrong here. Even children that innocent looking infant. They're saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's the only way that they could be saved. Now, the ordinary way that God saves his people is through the work of the Holy Spirit, through his word. And we have a question here. How are they then, who are too young to confess their faith, how are they saved? Well, God has his own method, only he knows. But we have to maintain the ordinary way that God saves his people is by the work of the Holy Spirit through his word. And that ordinary way does not change. Now, when it comes to our children, we trust God's promise that his covenant is for us and our children. Thus, we give infant baptism to our kids and receive them as the citizens of heaven until later they show us that they are not. People who do not give the infant baptism have to treat their kids as non-Christians until later they confess their faith. And again, you know, it's our sermon is not about infant baptism, so we'll talk about it more later. When we read Luke chapter 1, verse 41, the John the Baptist from inside of his mother's womb recognized Jesus Christ who was inside of his earthly mother, Mary. So from inside of Elizabeth, John the Baptist recognizes Jesus, who was inside of his earthly mother, Mary. So as Mary comes, John the Baptist recognized Jesus coming, and he leaped. That's what the Bible tells us. As you could see, God has his own ways, and we just don't know, and we don't know how to describe it. But he could make even those babies inside of their mom understand things. But as we have said before, God's ordinary salvation is by the work of the Holy Spirit through his word. But he could do whatever he wants. Well, what does Jesus mean when he said, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these children? We need to understand that because that's the passage we're looking at today. Well, verse 17 says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the citizens of heaven have a characteristic that the children have. The children, of course, they will change as they grow old, but when they were very young, they completely trust their parents. Even if you are walking through dark place, a child holding to the father's hand, that child completely trusts the father and he feels safe. The child doesn't question, can my father defeat somebody if somebody appears? He doesn't ask those kind of questions. Children. They completely depend on their parents. not only they trust their parents and completely depend on parents, but they're very humble. They know very well that they are not able. So when you see a little child and tell that child to do something, that child is hesitant because he knows he's not able. You have to be like children to enter the kingdom of God. Psalm 131, verse 1 and 2, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests upon against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. So these two verses describes how a child is. His heart is not proud. His eyes are not haughty. And he doesn't involve himself in great matters or things too difficult for them. And Bible says you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. It's a complete opposite of the world. In the world, you have to show how able you are. I mean, I gave you this example last time. I mean, can you imagine you going to a job interview and sitting there and telling that person representing the company, you say to him, well, I don't know. I can't. I don't have the ability. But this is exactly how you have to come to God. Yeah. How great vision do you have? I don't, like this verse says, I don't involve myself in great things or in things too difficult for me. Do I have vision that one day I'm going to be a pastor of a 10,000 people church? No. God is my witness. I never had that kind of vision. I'm actually very happy where I am. And even with this small number of congregants, it's too much for me. But I do whatever I have to do. See, this is dumb in the world. World doesn't live like this. Because the world is all about boasting. And we just don't want to hear that. I'm tired of it, people boasting about themselves. Because ultimately, that person deserves eternal hell forever. There's nothing to boast about. And if there's anything to boast about, then it's God's grace. You know, God could make you all kinds of things. And he made you as you are. And you should credit everything to God if there's anything to credit. The citizens of God, citizens of His kingdom, they are like the children. Just like children, they completely trust God and depend on God, and they are humble before God. The children, when given a gift, they simply accept with joy. But when you grow up to be an adult, it is different. To receive a gift is now a burden unless you repay the gift. We just don't like receiving for no reason. Otherwise, it feels like begging. We love to be recognized for our great works and effort. We want to receive anything, if anything we receive, we want to receive it justly, when we deserve it. That's how sinners are. But when it comes to salvation of our God, no one deserves it. No one is worthy to receive it. We must be just like the children, just receive it as God's gift and receive it with joy. Because the Bible teaches us that salvation is the gift of God. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You actually did all these sins. So the only thing you actually deserve is eternal hell. But God still saves you through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. The Pharisees and the rich young ruler that we will see next time, they are not like the children. They believe that they deserve the kingdom of God for their own good works, and when they talk to God, it's like a business transaction. I do this and you do this. We need to listen very carefully to what God says to us. We need to be like children. Otherwise, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. When the father says anything to infant, that infant trusts the father. Whatever father tells us, we will trust it. But when you grow old, you begin to question. Yeah, I remember with my children. When they were very, very little, I said, oh, tomorrow we're going to do this. They completely trusted me. But when they're old, if I say, we're going to do this tomorrow, they go, really? What about? And so they question. But it's okay to question me, but we're talking about God. You could completely trust. But that's not what we do. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, heaven, salvation, the eternal life, all are the gift of God that God gives to us, even though we do not deserve them. They are not the reward of God that God gives us for our own good works. We simply trust our Lord Jesus Christ and receive His gift of salvation with joy. This does not mean that we don't need to understand God's way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. What it means is that we completely trust Jesus Christ. And we depend on Him and His works for our salvation. And we humbly humble ourselves before our God. We trust what He tells us. We never treat our communication with our God as a business transaction. We never insist our worthiness. You must not be worldly smart when it comes to God. It is those smart people who cannot accept the Bible. Because Bible is ridiculous to them. I remember one person telling me, that person says, how can you believe the Bible? Man, when you read the Bible, that person says, animals talk. That's just like the books that my little kid read. Their book. They open it. They see animals talking to one another. And you see that in the Bible. Snake talking. Are you dumb? How can you accept the Bible? That's why God says you gotta be like children to enter the kingdom of God. If you think you're so smart out there, then how are you gonna accept what the Bible tells you? First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Through its wisdom, the world did not come to know God. Because the worldly wisdom, if you go by that, you could never accept what the Bible tells you. But it says, through the foolishness of the message preached, God saves those who believe. Do you understand the message that I'm preaching to you is foolishness? God says it. I'm telling you that God created the whole universe by just saying things. A virgin gave birth to a child. And this child grows up to be a man. He dies. And yet he resurrects. Are you going to believe all these things? Do you understand how foolish it sounds if you are not a believer? Don't try to make your preaching or sharing the gospel as something intelligent to the world. Don't even do that. Bible is very clear. It's the foolishness of the message preached. And that's what we're preaching. The foolishness to this world. That's why those children, when they were so young, they read and they don't question. They don't say, Mom. I mean, when they grow up a little bit older, they will. But until then, they don't question, Mom, how come bear talks? They don't never ask you that. Because what is foolishness to the world is not foolishness to us. And if when you go out and evangelize, you share the gospel, and the person who is hearing does not say, "What are you talking about? It's all foolishness," then you did not say it rightly. You were so concerned that that person will think you're foolish, you try to make it too intelligent. So that person, even though he's not a believer, thinks, "Oh, yeah, it makes sense because you said it wrong." Because if you say it according to the Bible, it will be foolishness to that person. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 25, "But we preach Christ crucified, to Jew a stumbling block, and Gentile to Gentile foolishness. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wickedness of weakness, oh man, could have been weakness of God is stronger than men." Brothers and sisters, this is what you need to believe. You and I are like the children when we live in this world. We believe the foolishness of the gospel. Why? Listen to this very carefully. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants.' 'Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight.'" Listen to what Jesus says. This truth, biblical truth, God revealed it to infants, but to intelligent people, He, what? What's the word? He hidden. He hid it from them. So if you truly believe the Bible, according to that verse, according to what Jesus says, you need to realize you are an infant in this world. Because only to infants He revealed it. But to wise and intelligent, it was hidden from them. So ask your question, why do I believe? Because you are infants. To people like infants, like children, He reveals the truth. But if anybody says, "I'm so not infant, I'm so intelligent and so wise," it's hidden from them. Yeah, so it is so amazing sometimes, you know, all these smart people out there. They have the same Bible and yet they claim to read it and they don't accept. So we're infants, meaning we're fools according to this world. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me ask you this. I want you to really think about this. Do you believe that believing things of the Bible is so easy? Well, it might be easy for you because the Holy Spirit was working in you. But let's say just sinner himself or herself, do you think it would be easy for that person to accept what the Bible says? It's actually impossible. Are these things in the Bible, are they believable? Really? According to the wisdom and the knowledge of this world, do you understand that the things we believe are utterly impossible to believe? Do you understand how great the miracle it is that you and I actually believe the gospel? Do not say to yourself, how come that person does not believe? It was so easy for me to believe. You and I believing is a miracle. Confessing that we are the sinners who truly deserve the eternal punishment of hell and humbly coming to our God and seeking His mercy is the true miracle. Because sinners will not do that. No matter how much you try to convince that person, he will not do that. But why do we believe? Because we are infants. Just because God says so. Just because my Father in heaven says so. I believe Him. Because He is my Father and I am His child. I pray you understand the message that is in our passage. We are God's children. So we believe our Father. But by believing our Father, the world will look at us as fools. But we don't care the opinions of this world. Why do we even care about what they say? But our God, Almighty God, that God came as an infant. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And He grew in the mother's womb. Can you even picture this? Mighty God becomes an embryo in a womb of a woman and depends on that woman to survive. Eating the nutrients that he needs to grow in the mother's womb. And this is God. Do you think that is so easy to believe? That it will make sense to people? Why would God do that? So that He could represent us. He has to be a man so that He could die for our sins. This is foolishness to the world. Their understanding of God, so mighty, so holy and holy other, will never do that. Understand? But we believe. Because like children, we completely trust our Father. You know, if you sit down and start using the worldly brain to think about these things, you're going to go, well, wait a minute. There's so many questions, so many things. You're going to start wavering in your faith. But we completely trust, simply trust our Father. This is why we are fools. Jesus Christ, He even lived through that infant stage. And as he grew older, he was rejected and ignored as a child in this world and captured and died on the cross. So you could see that Jesus lived the whole life as like children in this world, ignored and considered insignificant. But Jesus, more than any infant, he perfectly and completely trusted his Father in heaven and depended on Father in heaven and obeyed him perfectly. And of course, he did not do that to be saved from sin, but he never sinned. But he did all that for us. Live that life of child. Not that he was physically a child, but the whole life was a life belonging to child, ignored and considered insignificant. And brothers and sisters, now we are called to participate in his life of children, life of child. The world will think that you and I were too naive, foolish. Man, they say, those Christians are like children, so gullible, believing things like God and heaven. And whenever they say that to us, we rejoice. Why? Because he says, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We rejoice because our heavenly Father is our Father and we are his children. Understand who you are in Christ. You are like children in this world. They're not going to look at you any higher than that or any wiser than that. As long as you say you believe what the Bible tells us, they're going to think you are so foolish and so naive. So you will believe anything like children. Our purpose is not to be accepted by this world as some intelligent person. Our purpose is to be accepted by our Father in heaven. So let us live that life that belongs to children, to bring glory and honor to our God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed your truth to infants in this world. We thank you that you are treating us as infants in this world. And we rejoice because you have told us that unless we become like children, we will not enter your kingdom. But Father, whenever we tell the world what we believe, they will treat us like infants, insignificant people, without any intelligence or wisdom. But Father, we rejoice that they treat us like that, because we are your children, citizens of your kingdom. We thank you, God, and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.